Good evening, everybody. James McKenna here with my Science Hour. This is for March 23rd, 2023. So 3/23/23. Moving forward in this year, and I have so much material to cover tonight and very, very important material. Just quickly remember that the frequency change, this show for the summertime frequency from only from WWCR, is 9.350 megahertz. That's the summertime frequency, and we'll be on that until fall, sometime around the same time when the time changes. That's about when we change that frequency. So let me jump right in here. I was talking about energy last week, and in my notes I found that I had forgotten to mention something. In fact, this was kind of going to be my lead-in story. Imagine, and I talked about all of the energy we used and what it would take to replace current gasoline and diesel with hydrogen and what it would take to replace our electrical energy that is now produced by primarily coal, natural gas, and nuclear. And so anyway, and by the way, nuclear is not green energy. If your only meta is that it doesn't produce carbon dioxide, then that's really a bad goal. It's really a bad standard. Nuclear power, the more it's used, it's just horrific because you have to cool the fuel. This is one of the biggest issues, is the fuel that they're using today was never meant to be used in the nuclear reactors that we have. And what happens is the fuel has a natural half-life that's very long, and it has to be cooled. And if you don't cool it, then it's going to burn up the casks, these big steel casks that they store it in, and eventually pollute everything and kill everything on Earth, not just man, but everything else. So nuclear power, no, is not a good source of energy. We simply use too much energy. But anyway, I was going to start the show last week with the following story. Two guys live in the heat of Texas. So let's go down south into Texas during the very hottest part of the year. In the summertime, it's blistering hot. You can fry an egg on the pavement. And, so that's how hot it is. And so these two guys decide, of course, they're living there without air conditioning or anything. This is back in the old days, by the way. And so I was going to give them names, but that's not a good idea because I could offend people, things like that. So anyway, there's just these two guys, and they're living down in the hottest part of Texas in the summertime. And so one guy goes, I'm going to build something to cool us down. And so the other guy goes, okay, well, you're always building stuff. You're always inventing stuff. So go ahead. I'm anxious to see what you do. So the first guy goes out and he says, okay, the first thing I got to do is build a big fire and get a lot of combustibles here. And the other guy's going, well, wait a minute. It's already really hot. It's already blistering hot. And you want to cool the house by building a fire. Okay, so I'm really interested in this one. Okay, and, maybe I did include this, but I'll do it again just for the sake of this show because there's a lot of factors coming here. So anyway, he builds a fire, and then 20% of the energy that he takes from the fire is then used. 80%, he uses the Carnot cycle to boil water, which creates steam, then which he harnesses to turn a turbine, and then generates electricity. So 80% of the fire energy goes right up into the atmosphere, heating it even more, making it more difficult to, and of course this is right next to the house, which is already blistering hot. So then he changes the heat energy into electricity. Now he's has an electrical generator running from the fire that he's built, and now he invents this thing called an air conditioner, which is an internal, basically like a radiator on a car, which uses air moving through and expanding to cool. And so within the closed system, there's a pump, there's a like a radiator type of thing, and then there's a special fluid, which we call refrigerant. And so this refrigeration process is very inefficient. Okay, so now when you couple these inefficiencies, the production of electricity, which is, let's say, about, let's be generous, let's say 30% of the heat actually generated in the fire, 30% of that actually goes into generating electricity. Okay, with that 30% of the energy expended, now let's say that 20% of that energy, electrical energy, goes to actually cooling the house, drawing heat out of the house. So you multiply those two together and you come out with about maybe about 6% of the energy used is actually going to cool the house. And so that if you had a train load of coal, for example, with 100 cars on it, which is a typical coal train, they say 116 to 127 cars on a coal train, but let's just round it off to 100. So if you have 100 coal cars on a coal train, which is enough to keep a gigawatt coal-powered plant running for one day, then about six of those cars actually goes into cooling your house. So imagine all of that other coal energy is directly goes into the atmosphere. And this is why the global climate change argument has no validity, because they're saying that the carbon dioxide is going to provide some kind of minute change in temperature in 20 years when you're ignoring this enormous volume, literally, whether it's nuclear, whether it's coal, whether it's natural gas, anything that you burn, you're only getting about 6% of that when you're doing air conditioning. When you're driving a car, maybe about 25% of it or something like that actually goes into powering the car. Okay, so anyway, I just wanted to mention that. Also, I talked about back problems, modern back problems. If you go to a shopping center or any place, you're going to see people kind of shuffling along. And I would call it the USA shuffle. You even see young people doing this. And their upper back is distorted and curved over and their head is sticking out straight. And they you can tell that they're just all bound up. Their muscles are all completely their back is not flexible. And so anyway, I talked about using a roller. Some people wrote in and said, where can you get those? And I really don't remember where I bought mine, but it was in like a department store where they sell, you know, little exercise things like the mats that you lay on to do floor exercises, where they sell those kind of things. That's where you would find this, but it's a roll. And it's very hard, and then it's got these nubs sticking out from it. So when you roll, you lay down on the floor on your back, and you roll back and forth on this along your back, and it drives the acid. These nubs go into your muscles and gets the acid out of there, and it's a very relieving thing. And it also bends your back, straightens your back out, essentially. But the other thing that I forgot to mention was that another good method of correcting posture, which is what this is all about, is to take a backpack, like a student backpack, put about 30 pounds worth of weight in it, and then walk around with it. And it might be books, it might be that kind of thing, but what it does is it pulls your shoulders back. It pushes in on your backbone. Now, I actually bought a product one time, and it's like a strap. You put it on, and it pulls your shoulders back, but it doesn't provide you any pressure in the middle of your back. And so, basically, taking a backpack, put about 20, 30, or maybe 50 pounds of weight in it even, and walk around with that. Go on a hike, you know, do your daily walk with that on. And what that does is it straightens you up, pulls your shoulders back, pushes your back in, and it's another help. So anyway, just wanted to mention that. Okay, now this next story is really something. I mean, I've spent most of my life outside, everything, and I was actually in a parking lot. So I'm in a parking lot, and I see this. First of all, there's like a tree there. No leaves on the tree or anything, but there's a crow and this other bird. And at first I couldn't recognize the other bird because crows are pretty easy to recognize even very far away. But the other bird I didn't recognize. Eventually I found out it was a pigeon. Okay, so these two were having kind of a little war going on. It looked like a World War II, dogfight going on. And obviously what the crows do is they want to attack the nest and then have lunch on the little ones or the eggs or whatever of a bird's nest. So then I looked, and then I looked a bit farther, and I saw these crows flying around. There were many of them, maybe 10 or 20 of them. And there were pigeons flying around, which at first I wasn't, like I say, I wasn't sure what they were, but then I recognized they were pigeons, because pigeons have their wings up, like a V-shaped a lot of times. And so, anyway, I could see they were pigeons, and these birds were going at it. The crows were clearly, and then the crows had a strategy, which became interesting, is they would send in the first wave of crows. And so the pigeons would come up and attack them, but by attacking the group of crows that came in, they abandoned their nests. And so there were no pigeons left in the nest. And then another wave of crows would come in and land in the nests and eat the little ones or the eggs or whatever. And I'm like, holy cow. And before this thing was over, there were, I would say, 100 birds in the air. It looked like a World War II dogfight. Like some of these, they talk about, for example, the Japanese and American when they were in the South Pacific, like the Mariana Turkey Shoot, I think it was called, is one of the terms, where the Japanese lost hundreds of planes in a single afternoon. But it looked like something like that going on between these two birds, crows and pigeons. And I've never seen, you know, all the time I've spent outside, I've never seen anything that matched this. But just an amazing event. But interesting that, you know, back to the idea that most animals have to kill something to eat on a daily basis. It's part of the food chain. And, of course, humans, there are vegetarians, like a lot of animals that kind of look like humans, like apes and chimpanzees, and those kind of animals are vegetarians. And so they only eat plant food, etc. But at any rate, there are lots of animal types that literally have to kill something every day, which leads us up to the point where man, psychologically, there are still groups of people out there who have to destroy every day, and it's part of their, is simply part of their food chain to make money, to be in power. And those people have a bad habit of destroying everything else so they can continue to maintain their power. And so that theme will mix in with some of the topics I have to talk about tonight, including there is a record cyclone that just occurred. It's called Cyclone Freddy. And this thing, I watched this storm with satellite imagery, and if this was not a manipulated storm, I don't know what is. It's one of only 4 storms in history to cross the Indian Ocean going east to west, so going in a westerly direction. Also, when it hit Madagascar, it should have broken up. Clearly, it should have broken up over Madagascar, but it just blew completely over Madagascar, which is a big, literally like a mini continent off of the east coast of Africa. It regained power and hit Mozambique, and here's the list of countries that it actually affected. One of the worst ones being Malawi, which is probably 250 miles inland. Then, so it was Mozambique, which is a coastal country, Madagascar, which is the island, South Africa, which is way south. Now, all of these countries are very far south from the equator. And, of course, Malawi was the one that's been in the news. And then Zimbabwe, which, of course, is even farther inland than Malawi. And it's when I saw this, and I'm going, wait a minute, here we've got what they're claiming is the biggest, longest-lived tropical storm on record any place in the world, and then it's going hundreds and hundreds of miles inland, and then coupled this with the show I did a number of weeks ago where they were talking about, and this was CNN, who was reporting that there were going to be all these amazing, strong hurricanes that were going to go much farther north up the eastern seaboard of the United States and cause doubling the amount of damage of to housing, etc., or making twice or almost three times the number of houses vulnerable to large-scale hurricanes in the United States, and farther inland and all of these various effects. So anyway, what's going on here, it's like, let me do a comparison between school shootings and gun control and climate change apocalyptic, you know, narrations and weather control. So if you want to take the guns away from people, that's the goal. What do you need? Well, you have to scare them. This is the old protection racket at work. I mean, this is classic protection racket. So if you want to remove guns from normal citizens, you have school shootings or schools, mall shootings or the shopping mall or wherever. And you then you say, oh, we got to take the guns away from everybody. We can't have all these guns out there. And, of course, it doesn't make any sense because they want to take the guns away from citizens who should be using them to protect themselves from the criminals who will be the only ones left with guns. The criminals are not going to bring in their guns, or they're not even registered. So the only people they want to register guns, well, the only people that are going to register guns are the ones that are legal. And they're typically not the people that would use them. So anyway, the same, I'm just comparing climate change religion with the now the ability to manipulate these storms and cause a lot of extensive damage. Now, they had the president of Malawi on CNN where they interviewed him, and all the lady talked about was climate change. That was interviewing this president. And I mean, she let in how horrible it was. They showed photos of the damage and the suffering people trying to dig out of mudslides, etc. And they went immediately to climate change. And she goes, the problem is caused by the G20 countries. The richest countries in the world are the problem. And of course, the New World Order is using climate change to further their own ends. So it's just like the school shootings for gun control, creating large-scale storms with extensive damage for these third-world countries, you know, taking and attacking the innocent using weather control. And then you have the clowns running around the internet claiming that it's due to microwave beams coming out of radio towers or TARP or other things like this, when the real issue is the satellite-controlled lasers that are manipulating these storms. And you could see this storm being manipulated. They say it regenerated many times. It was the longest running, most powerful cyclonic storm in the history of the world. And of course, hurricanes take energy to form, but they're talking about, excuse me, warm water. Well, this was down in the South Indian Ocean where it's very cold. And so why would that generate this massive cyclone? Well, it doesn't make any sense. And it, like I say, it should have shorted out when it hit Madagascar, but it comes across completely across Madagascar and then goes inland into South Africa, Zimbabwe, Malawi, Mozambique, and South Africa even, which is really far south, and causes this tremendous amount of damage, with Malawi and Zimbabwe being very far inland. So now they have the ability to drag these storms inland, and we also saw that when they were dragging these manipulated storms into the region between Louisiana and Texas. That was going on last rice harvesting season, where they had a tremendous amount of number of hurricanes come in, which actually gained energy as they moved inland. That's the level of weather control that they are now able to do with the laser-controlled satellites. Okay, so if you look at the news today, it is just constant climate change, which brings up another subject here. It was very interesting. About 10 days ago, I don't know the exact date, but Tucker Carlson had Jordan Peterson. Now, I don't think either of those guys need an introduction. But, of course, Tucker Carlson is a reporter, news, nightly news, the most watched nightly cable news in the country. And for excellent reporting, sometimes he doesn't, I don't think he goes far enough, but he's going deep into the COVID issue, but also the issue of climate change. So anyway, he had Jordan Peterson? I think it's Jordan with a J, a psychologist from Canada, to talk about the psychology of climate change. Now, I highly recommend that you find that. It's about 10 days ago, Tucker Carlson has Jordan Peterson. Just search Tucker Carlson, Jordan Peterson, and you will come up with that interview. But listen to the whole thing maybe two or three times to get the understanding that climate change is a cult. Climate change, and of course, was originated by a guy named Carl Sagan. Carl Sagan was the guy that originated that, and Carl was probably one of the worst scientists ever to hit the street, and one of the most powerful in terms of affecting your daily life. Carl Sagan is the one that promoted the greenhouse effect, and literally, okay, just to explain a little bit, I was at Cornell when this was going on. And Carl Sagan was promoting this, and it was just in the earliest days. And I thought, you know, this is going to be just kind of like the Green Revolution. Remember when green used to be the term? Everybody that sold any product at all, I don't care if it was what it was, pants, routers, electronics, whatever it was, it had to be green. And so green was the most overused word, and greenhouse effect. They're still talking about CO2 emissions, but they never say global warming anymore. Remember that? It's global climate change. So no matter if it's colder or hotter, they can still cover their butts. But the original term was greenhouse effect, and the greenhouse effect has been thoroughly discredited, literally by real science, because it simply doesn't work. Okay, so let's quickly look at a greenhouse. A greenhouse is a physical structure. It's made of glass, or like your automobile. They talk about automobile also, heating up inside, accumulating heat and holding it in when the light from the sun comes in the summertime, so the car heats up. That's why you don't leave your kids in the back seat when you leave your car in the summertime, or even in the wintertime. But the idea is that the greenhouse has a glass roof that prevents the heat from leaving physically. The air cannot form an air current and leave. So the energy enters, heats up in a normal environment without the glass ceiling there. The heat would rise up and go up to the upper atmosphere to a point at which it would then release the energy thermally into outer space by radiating it in the infrared spectrum. Every day, that 80% of energy that goes up as pure heat dissipates every day. And they're talking about this little teeny weeny weeny amount of energy due to some kind of greenhouse effect caused by carbon dioxide trapping the heat, supposedly, like a greenhouse. But it is not like a greenhouse because there's no physical barrier. There's no glass barrier there in the overall environment of the Earth, in the atmosphere of the Earth. So it doesn't work. The greenhouse effect never worked. It came from Venus. The idea that when they went to see Venus under all those cloud tops, they expected to find dinosaurs, a relatively Earth-like atmosphere with dinosaurs and, you know, giant fern plants. That's what Carl Sagan and company expected to find. So they get there, and it's raging hot. It's hot enough to melt lead at the surface. It's raining sulfuric acid out of the sky. It's an inhospitable environment that, you know, has nothing to do with anything like they thought. They thought it was cratered like the moon because when they bounced radio signals off of it, they got the same effect as bouncing a radio signal off the moon, which is highly cratered. So they said, oh, Venus is highly cratered, therefore it's a very old surface, and we can expect that it is going to be like Earth, very Earth-like, you know, a climate and everything else. So they get there, and the reason they're getting this radio signal of craters is because it's highly volcanic active. It's volcanically Venus's surface, and when they did the Magellan probe around Venus with radio mapping of the surface of Venus, it went through a single year where it mapped the entire surface of Venus, and it still had some lifetime in the satellite. So they remapped the surface of Venus. They started remapping the area they had already done like a year earlier. And what they found is the surface was totally different. In that time, Venus had completely reshaped major physical characteristics because it is just a bubbling cauldron. And so anyway, at that point, the Russian scientists, who were honest, good scientists, not making a living off of fear porn, they said, hey, Venus is a hot surface. It's a young planet. That's the only explanation. And that's when the greenhouse effect should have died, because here's the reason. Venus has thousands of times more carbon dioxide than Earth does. So if the greenhouse effect is not working on Venus, then it certainly would not work on Earth, because Venus has thousands of times more carbon dioxide. So this religious cult that Jordan Peterson is talking about on the Tucker Carlson Show, and I think I mentioned that, go back about 10 days, the Tucker Carlson-Jordan Peterson interview, where Jordan Peterson talks about climate control as a cult. And whether you believe it or not is not important. The idea that it has become a religious cult that controls through control mechanism, and that's what's being used for. So whether you look at COVID, whether you look at guns, shootings, mass shootings, whether you look at climate control, it's all about religious fanatical beliefs that really have no basis, because these are all controlled and manipulated to a high degree. Am I saying all storms are controlled and manipulated? No. But storm, cyclone, hurricane Freddy that damaged and destroyed the Malawi and Mozambique and Madagascar, Zimbabwe and South Africa absolutely is a controlled storm. No question about it. I watched the eye as they stretched it and pulled it and moved it, and the eye of the storm. A typical hurricane storm should have a nice circular flow pattern in the center core, and it should move relatively slowly. it should break up and short circuit when it hits land, like it when it hit Madagascar. That should have been the end of that storm, but it didn't. It went right over Madagascar and built up pressure and actually hit the coast of Africa twice. And when it hit the main continent of Africa, it just they built it up to the point where it could go in 250. Zimbabwe is close to 400 to 500 miles inland, and was still strong enough where it did major damage. And so this is where things are going. This is where things are going, boys and girls. And it's going to happen in the United States. And this is going to continue to go on. And what you're going to see is like the announcer, the news reporting lady on CNN diving right into climate change and the president of Malawi. I guarantee you that guy's a New World Order pawn. He goes, yes, it's time for the first world countries that are causing all of this to step up and pay us money. Retribution for your global climate change disaster. And the reality is we just simply use too much energy, far too much energy, in very wasteful way. And these are the coal, natural gas, and nuclear energy. It's a tremendous amount of this is wasted. I just wanted to bring up here, there was a I'm going to continue with the energy discussion here in a minute. I saw a video, a YouTube video, and this was very good. And this is just like a regular guy. The YouTube channel is Mojo Adventures. And he's going into the, let me see if I can quick pull this up and get you a title for this. Okay, so it is by Mojo, M-O-J-O, Adventures, that's two words, and it's Lake Mead Update, March 2023. So that's the video you want to look for. And he's talking about the water levels in the California water systems. A very good analysis. But anyway, the reason I wanted to mention that is that he goes through a very good discussion of the water sources for California, which has had like 10 years of drought, which partially was man-made. So they're getting to the point where they can control weather, to the point where they can control climate, because climate is nothing more than long-term weather. So they can control droughts, they can prevent the water from the Pacific from coming into California, and now they're having extensive flooding. And so this is causing very high snow up in the mountains, and so you have places like Oregon and even as far south as Nevada, Las Vegas, getting major snow coverage to where they're actually shutting down roads. And, of course, they're not prepared for it like upper Midwest states are prepared for snow. But it just gives you a feeling that there's a lot of control going on here. And then you have the little nutcases running around the Internet that are, in some of them, very highly polished, that are talking about weather control, which are government controlled disinformation websites that don't get you the real story of what is causing weather control. But the Mojo Adventures video I thought was very good. And anyway, one of his comments in there, and this is the reason I'm bringing this up, is that he says, we don't have a water problem. We have a water administrative problem. And the way he quotes it, he says, is we have a water demand problem. And so the amount of demand, and a lot of this water is wasted. If you go to the like the places where they spray water for agriculture, instead of having drip agriculture that's very conservative relative to water, they're flooding fields and things like that. So they're using far too much water for the products, the food products that are being produced in California. And then you look at just the toilets. I looked at did an analysis of Los Angeles one time, and down to San Diego, that whole western seaboard from L.A. down to San Diego. and the flushing of water-based toilets. If you simply eliminated water-flushing toilets, you would cure irrevocably the water issue in California and all the way down as the Colorado River flows down to where the U.S. meets with Mexico. You would just simply eliminate the water issue. But this guy also mentions, as I said, that we don't have a water problem, we have a water management problem. And that's the whole idea of controlling water, and that's the whole idea of global climate change, is to control water. That's what it has always been. So when it started, I was teaching university physics, math, and astronomy. This is back in the 1990s. I was in a state university system. I don't talk about all of these places because my enemies tend to use things against me if they know details. But anyway, I gave a talk. I called the faculty together and I gave a talk, and I said this greenhouse issue is going to become a political football, and it's going to be used on a wide scale, and that's all I really could tell about that at the time. And so anyway, it was the same place. Now I have a video on my webpage. It's called Astronomy for the 90s. And it's on my DVD 1 and 2 set. So if you have that 2 DVD set, go listen to that. It's a professionally produced video that was sponsored. The university system had a grant money that was available to professors and teachers, instructors, to produce video content for the students. And so a professional video editor, producer came in and worked with me, and we produced that video. It's called Astronomy for the 90s. And oddly enough, here we are decades and decades later, and the same horrifically bad, incorrect misinformation science is being pawned off to the youth of today. The same stuff. And anyway, that resulted in a textbook study, which I also talk about in that video. And you'll also see me as a much younger person. That's always very interesting. Okay, so back to our friend Freddy the Cyclone. Like I said, this is comparing school shootings, COVID, climate control. These are all manufactured things to control the public. And as long as you're looking for things to see on the internet, go back to, it would be the 21st. Go back to the 21st, which would be Tuesday, a couple days ago. By the way, the first day of spring. Thank you very much. Welcome in the spring, a very welcome time of year for a lot of places, anticipating spring and summertime, etc. But The Jordan Peterson interview with Tucker Carlson. I'm getting dyslexic here in my old age. Tucker Carlson interview. They showed for a lot of the time 3-blade wind turbines, and one of the points that Jordan was making was that the solutions that have been instigated by the global climate change religions have caused much more damage, like Germany. He mentioned Germany, where the price of energy has gone up. It's become very unreliable, and it's really destroyed their economy and the lives of the people there. So at any rate, that's a major issue, that you have some religious fanatics running around. But they showed the 3-blade wind generators in the background. And of course, then he comes across, and a lot of these people are well-intentioned, but then they hit the wrong point. And he goes, nuclear power could be the solution. It's very clean if we could just control it. And that's where the big if comes in. Because if you look at the nuclear accidents the ones we've had, Fukushima killing the entire Pacific Ocean, destroying it, or the Three Mile Island, which we were lucky it wasn't very bad, or, you know, Chernobyl. These are nuclear accidents, and there's going to be more. It's just like car accidents or any other kind of machine that's built by man, there's going to be failures. They're not going to be 100% successful. They showed the three-blade wind turbines in the background spinning, which are a total failure. And a lot of these people are not scientifically adept. They certainly have not heard my message. And that's one of the best-kept secrets on the planet, is the JMCC wing generator. I saw another thing the other day. In fact, two videos in the side column. I didn't really watch them. These bizarre-looking blade systems that are people who are going, oh, this is the solution to the world energy problem. And, you know, just junk that will not work, that, you know, people put this stuff together that have no idea what they're doing. And then it gets highlighted and promoted. I've said this before, when it comes to energy or water solutions, if it doesn't work, poorly engineered or poorly thought out or a design that simply will not work, it gets funding, it gets notoriety, and the stuff that will work never sees the light of day. Amazing how that works. I just want to mention also a Peruvian cyclone. Now, Peru is very far south. I've been there. Peru is a very cold country. They had a major cyclone called Yaku that did major damage. Now, wait a minute. I thought cyclones and hurricanes were caused by warm water. Where's the warm water off of Peru? There ain't none. So at any rate, you know, this is getting goofy. And so what they're doing, and this is what the CNN mega announcement was, it lasted for about a half an hour, where they brought in these mini mind experts from CNN Weather and talked about how in the colder climates, hurricanes, because of global climate change, would move into more northerly areas in the northern hemisphere and more southerly areas in the southern hemisphere. So they've learned how to control these storms far off of the equatorial belt, is the point. And Peru just got nailed with one. Okay, now jumping back to Cyclone Freddy, they say now, in terms of storms on planet Earth, this is the biggest storm, the most long-lasting storm in the history of the world. And it went the farthest inland. It's got all of these amazing records. And let's just start with the real fact that what is powering hurricanes? It's the discharge of the solar capacitor. Earth is connecting into those electric fields, and it's the vertical discharge to the cloud tops of the storm system that is driving the hurricane. And that I'm not going to go into those details here on this show, but if you want all the details, read my weather work where this is completely explained. So the solar conditions are rather mild. We don't have major storms going on right now. We don't have major alignments that are going on. We don't have comets that are aligning with planet Earth and the rest of the solar system, etc. So there's nothing to drive this storm, and it's not from warm water, because Cyclone Freddy did not go in warm waters. It was in extremely cold waters, just as Cyclone Yaku in Peru was in extremely cold waters. So this idea that hurricanes are formed from warm water is just complete lunacy. No science background to that at all. Okay, so anyway, it lasted the longest time. It went the farthest inland. I mean, we're talking 400 miles inland, and tropical storms simply don't do that. They break up. Sure, you're going to get rain. You're going to get some after effects that go inland, but not like that. Remember that Zimbabwe and Malawi and South Africa, if you go a couple countries up, you get up to near the equator, where the hurricanes generate as they come out of Africa and across the Atlantic towards the United States and the Gulf of Mexico, etc. That's where the hurricanes normally generate, but in the Atlantic. And so this storm was only one of four in the history of the world that had moved westerly across the Indian Ocean. And so there's, anyway, all of these amazing things. And now here's another little fun fact. They said that this hurricane had more energy than all of the hurricanes that are recorded annually in the United States. So take all the hurricanes annually for the United States, of which there's usually about 10 that are designated storms per year. Four of them may get up to pretty good size hurricanes. But take all of those, sum up their energy, and this storm dwarfed all of those storms put together. So this storm is so phenomenal that in all aspects that it's just like unreal, if you know what I mean. Literally unreal. And so as I watched this storm being dragged across the southern Indian Ocean, you could see the effort they're putting into driving this storm as the eye of the storm bulged out and then came back and bulged out in a different direction. And it was all over the place. You could see them building this storm up. And so now what they're doing is they're getting ready to attack the United States with hurricane after hurricane. And it's going to be, this is due to global warming. Oh, we got a, you know, global climate change, and it's going to be pounded down your throat, just like school shootings. Every week there's another school shooting or mall shooting or something like that where, you know, some crazy guy, and of course there's never any investigation into that. Oh, it was just like the Nord Stream pipeline. Oh, there was no investigation. Oh, gee, who did that? What terrible person could have possibly done that? They blamed Russia for blowing up its own pipeline that was going to Germany, was using this natural gas from the pipeline to fuel their entire economy. And so to prevent Germany from being dependent on Russian resources, clearly the United States blew it up. I don't know if you need any more education than that, but it's very clear. It certainly was certainly not in the best interest of Russia to blow up their own pipeline. Just absolutely doesn't make any sense at all. Okay, so the end result is that hurricanes are going to become more common. The manipulation, they're going to become bigger. They're going to be coming farther north into the United States. This promotion that CNN did a few weeks ago, which I talked about, is just buttering the bread. It's baiting the hook. It's getting everybody of a mindset that, oh, this is going to be due to global climate change. And so anyway, what can I say? A few other comments, other topics here. I wanted to comment on one of the great, great human migrations in the history of planet Earth, and that's the Polynesian migration. When they started out, now you would have to ask yourself, what would drive a people who were living with the ocean, what would drive them to navigate out in canoes that they built out of basically material, very natural materials? And if you ever want a real study in sailing, study the Polynesian canoes, the Polynesian sailing techniques, one of the great migrations, and the reason I'm talking about this is because in southeastern Mexico, where I spent a lot of time, Yucatan, Quintana Roo, Belize, that area into Honduras and Guatemala, there's these big round balls of rock. They're just gigantic, and they're out in the middle of the jungle. And then also there are these heads, which are very Polynesian-looking. and they have this like leather type garb on them, like a hat type of thing. And you know, you can see it's very Polynesian, that the real full face. But those are left over from the Olmecs, and we don't know a lot about the Olmecs other than they were the original builders of pyramids in that area. And what the modern Maya did, the ones that lived around 800 AD, is an estimate, and I always question those estimates. But the Olmecs were thousands of years ago, like 1500 BC, and so there was a remnant of that population which carried through. But believe me, the Lacandones, which I met personally, don't look anything like the Olmecs. And so there's a total disconnect there. The Olmecs look like Polynesians. So the question is, when did the Polynesians do their migration? And it is believed that they did this like maybe 1,000 years ago, but I really highly question any dates that anybody puts on anything anymore. I just say it's probably wrong, it's probably pretty wrong, and it's probably really, really wrong. You know, so the history as it's being taught, and the first thing any scholar does to prove his salt is to put a date on something. And when they put a date on something, well, then that's like it gets peer-reviewed, and then it gets agreed upon. Everybody starts using that, just like the age of the universe or the age of the solar system that they say 4.5 billion years ago. Just complete hogwash. I mean, there's nothing scientific that statement simply is not, or that the Earth is 4.5 billion years old. There's absolutely no scientific rationale for saying that. But once it gets into the peer-reviewed journals, then it's good as gold, and you just keep repeating it, and you get your paycheck. So anyway, one of the great human migrations of all of history, the Polynesian migration. So what was the motivation for these people to go out into the ocean and search for, they eventually found, of course, the Polynesians, the South Pacific Islands, populated those all the way up to Fiji and Hawaii, the Hawaiian Islands, of course. But what were they originally looking for? And the answer is that they were most probably looking for the sunken continent of Lemuria. And so somewhere out in the Pacific Ocean, underneath the water, is the lost continent of Mu. And so it's very clear that that's what they're looking for. They made it all the way to South America, which Thor Heyerdahl proved. And there's not a lot of record of the Polynesian-type canoes, but we have places like Easter Island, which belongs to Ecuador, which is off the coast. I think it belongs to Ecuador. I'm not sure about that. The Galapagos Islands do belong to Ecuador. But Easter Island may be independent. I'm not sure. But anyway, I saw a very interesting show one time, and one of the big questions has always been, how did they move those massive rock stones, which they quarried miles away? And they asked some of the local people, and they said they walked. In other words, the idea was that these stones walked from the quarry to out to where they placed them on the hillsides, looking out over the ocean. And, you know, what I think that they were made for was when some other population arrived, they would see these and know that the certain people had arrived there. But anyway, back to how they arrived there, I saw this video, and they actually did this. You know, people ask how the Egyptian pyramids were built, and people have ideas and all of this. But the truth is, proof is in the pudding. And they actually showed this, where these guys had ropes. And the base of these rock figures is like a square. And so what they did is they rocked it back and forth with the ropes. And this thing literally walked down the path to where they put it. They actually showed how these stones actually walked. Very interesting. And of course, the stones were extremely heavy. But anyway, getting back to the Polynesians, I believe that they were looking for the lost continent of Lemuria, which was gone. It was under the ocean. It died in the catastrophe one of the great earthwide catastrophes. Okay, just a quick mention here about what's going on economically in the world. Of course, the United States has bank failures. The fake money is going under. At the same time, the BRICS nations are organizing with a gold-backed currency, and I think that's going to come out soon, and it's going to completely dump the petrodollar, and that's why they want to attack Russia, is because it's the only way they can somehow save their hallowed banking system. Anyway, I had a commentary from a person, not a professional, but I consider a very good analysis that is what's going on in the background. But you have the United States, which is really now, and this is what I said about Putin before, he's playing his cards just perfectly. And what he's doing, he could have cleaned up this war in Ukraine a long time ago. He's got 700,000 troops surrounding Ukraine with massive amounts of artillery, etc. And so he's playing kind of cat and mouse with the United States, where, like I always say, he's like a cat playing with a mouse. He's not killing the mouse; he's just playing with it. And so, at any rate, that's what's going on in Ukraine right now. But the United States is blustering along with very inept leadership. And these people just simply don't even know what they're doing. They don't know what's going on. As the country that once was called the United States crumbles economically and in all other aspects, within a year to 2 years, the whole economic picture of the world is going to change, with the United States simply being left behind. Okay, so anyway, there's a lot of other things going on planet Earth. I try and keep that out of my show, but I think that's important because it directly affects you, the listener, and so I wanted to get that in there. At any rate, remember, right now my MR5 whole house water filters have a big sale price on those, and that's going to be ending here shortly. So go to my webpage, jmccwaterfilters.com. Check that out. If you have a gravity water filter, get your replacement filters. The HI filter elements are the best ones on the planet. And then also my book, The Real History of Man and Earth, Myths, Magic, and Mayhem, is available on Amazon. Just look up, and soon there will be other books available on Amazon. It's also available on my webpage, jmccsci.com. In ebook format. The one on Amazon is it's called Perfect Bound, so it's a paperback in a sense. So anyway, check that out. And I'm out of time. I'll talk to you next week. This is James McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.